All right, let me get the fanfare going. I don't think Doug can hear this over the phone line, but I'm playing a military fanfare for you right now, Doug. And welcome to the airwaves, if you will, please. Originally from Janesville, Wisconsin, retired Lieutenant Colonel Douglas Kleist, a very good friend of mine from years ago. And Doug, thanks for taking the time this morning to talk to us about something really kind of trivial. You are an important individual who makes me feel like my life is insignificant. So thank you for that, Doug. We appreciate it very much, but let me tell folks a little bit about you. And I sent your bio off to our folks here at the radio station talking about my team.
Very impressive.
Oh, it's really something. So
I am unworthy.
Yeah, exactly. Here we are just messing around on the radio. Doug, he's out there saving lives, literally, and saving our country hundreds and millions of dollars with aircraft that has failed, but he gets it down safely. So he has flown a U-2 Dragon Lady, and I'm talking to mainly folks who know a little bit about this, but that's the highest flying aircraft in the military, and that allows...
It's called a Dragon Lady?
Dragon Lady. There you go. Do you like that, huh? All right. And he was inducted into the Air Force ISR Hall of Honor. And the reason was because of a large number of his operational and combat missions. He flew in multiple roles. He flew over 6,000 hours, over 300 operational missions, 1,400 combat hours, awarded the Air Medal 9 times in virtually every major air campaign from the mid-1980s to the mid-2000s. So we're talking about Operation Urgent Fury to Operation Enduring Freedom. So much going on.
And so good morning, Doug. How are you? Or do I call you Lieutenant or do I call you Colonel? What's the right way to address
call him Lieutenant. I dare you.
Call him Sir.
Okay.
Just call me Doug.
Okay. The reason we, like, this all came up, and I think Ken kind of told you, we were talking about Top Gun, how they're going to be releasing another one eventually, and how, you know, Tom Cruise is 61 years old. So the original question at hand, but I've got many questions after this. But is that correct?
Is that viable?
Accurate?
It's definitely possible for the right person. For example, Chuck Yeager, the guy that broke the sound barrier for the first time, still flew an F-15 Eagle at the age of 89. So. Wow. If you're the right individual, it's plausible.
Yeah, but in combat, what about vascular integrity and G-forces?
It depends on the individual. I know a lot of super fit people at the age of 61 who could do it, but it would take months to reacclimate with the high G environment.
Do you like seeing movies like Top Gun, or are you like, oh my gosh, this is so not realistic?
I love watching Top Gun. I also love the, you know, Mission Impossible series. You know, parts of it drive you a little bit crazy, but parts of it are super enjoyable.
I remember back when Top Gun first came out, and you and I talked briefly about that, and you enjoyed it because you said that the scenes, the air scenes were pretty good.
Yeah. For example, you know, in the first Top Gun, they have the F-14 and a flat spin, and that is actually plausible. The inherent danger of ejecting from an aircraft, that's plausible. So there are pieces and parts of it that are realistic.
Okay, so when you're up there, I mean, that you see these people like passing out. Has that happened to you? Have you been up in an aircraft and the G-force makes you, you know, pass out right then and there?
No, thankfully, I taught in a high G environment for a few years and never came close to passing out. So
it's just wild. And you never get like, I mean, literally the pictures that Ken was sending us, I mean, you're like upside down all around, flippity flop. I mean, do you not get like disoriented and I just feel like I would be like, where the heck am I? Where's the sun? Where's the sky? Where's the ground? Has that ever happened?
So, no, you acclimate to the environment, and especially in the early years, you know, I was flying two or three times a day, two or three sorties a day, and that helps you just get used to the environment up there, and you kind of anticipate the high Gs and the heavy turns coming.
Again, we're talking to Ken's friend, Lieutenant Colonel Doug Kleist, who's from Janesville. What's the fastest plane that you've been in, that you've flown?
Oh, well, I sent you guys a photo of the T-38. That's the trainer version of the plane they depicted as the MiGs in the first Top Gun. So that's a supersonic fighter trainer.
So what does that mean? Is that supersonic, like, go, I mean, like, is that...
It goes really fast.
I know it goes fast, but are we talking, like, 200 miles per hour?
I think you talk Mach.
Sonic is sound, so the speed of sound.
Yeah, yeah. So it breaks the speed of sound. Speed of sound is approximately 700 miles an hour near sea level.
Okay.
So over that.
That's moving.
You know, I have a couple of very important questions.
Yeah, wait, go ahead, Stan.
Wait, real quick. Do your ears pop when the sonic... I feel like it would have to, right?
He's in front of it.
Oh, he's in front of it, so he doesn't even get it.
I'm assuming. I don't know. Doug, you tell me.
Do your ears pop?
Well, your ears pop from the pressure, but not from the sound barrier.
From the sound barrier. Okay, go ahead, Stan.
All right. Well, one thing, I read a report once that women may actually have better physiques to be fighter pilots, to take the G's. Is it true that women have better bodies for fighter aircraft?
No, I don't see a difference between women and men there. Your height and your cardiovascular health are big factors, and just your training and your core strength in order to be able to keep the blood in your head.
That's the wrong answer, Doug. The answer is yes. Women always have the better bodies.
Go ahead, Stan.
Last question. Have you ever played volleyball shirtless on the beach?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh,
all right.
Nice.
There you go. Stan's got to move over to the other radio station. And this is kind of part B that you and I were talking about this in regards to getting back to Top Gun. Is supposedly the movie is going to be about kind of drones and then piloted aircraft. And you are obviously a huge proponent of a piloted aircraft as opposed to a drone.
Yeah, exactly right. There are advantages to drones or UAVs. There are advantages to manned aircraft. I grew up before the age of UAVs and drones, saw them come on. They have their advantages. They can fly longer sorties than the physiological limits of manned aircraft, for example. But they require a lot larger tail, a lot of the infrastructure in data links and comm structure behind them to be able to fight, whereas you can drop a manned aircraft into a contested environment and fight right there and have the brain on the in the aircraft.
Well,
but
yeah.
Do drones even, like, are drones able, I don't know, like, the military drones, but are they able to go as fast as, like, some of these planes?
There are modern UAVs and drones that can fly quite fast.
Oh, really? Yes. Okay, I didn't know. I am a drone flyer myself. Mine is charging
not
on the
supersonic.
But not that level. Okay.
So Doug, I'm curious about the drones, and this is probably a stupid question, but there is a pilot back wherever operating the drone, correct?
Yeah, usually there's a pilot tied to the mission somewhere. Yes.
Okay. So I would think my assumption would be when you talk about a manned aircraft as opposed to a drone piloted aircraft, that the guy in the plane is going to be a little more on top of things because, well, the guy who is sitting back somewhere flying this drone is going to be like,
drinking his Coca-Cola.
Yeah, he's got his coffee there, and, oh, darn, we lost another plane. Too bad. Where a guy in the plane is going to be fighting for his life, and that's going to make a little difference. Does that come to play at all?
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, just bottom line, of course, yes.
Okay.
Okay, what is the scariest thing that, this is Lieutenant Colonel Doug Kleiss we're talking to, the scariest thing that's ever, you've been in, like, while in a plane that has happened?
I think, in the award write-up, they talk about a landing, and I did a U-2 with a massive systems failure. That was a tough night. It was classified location, nighttime mission, bad weather, mechanical malfunctions, critical aircraft. It was a tough evening, but thankfully we walked away safely from that one.
How did you, like, you landed it, it landed in the water, like, how did you operate a...
Well, I think that was the one, if I remember correctly, Doug, that you went to restricted area to land, correct?
So I was in a sensitive area, and we had a very short runway to work with. My plane was disabled, And we did a special type of short field landing. It was pretty critical, but it worked out. That particular aircraft, to save weight, only has two main tires. Blew both tires on the landing because it didn't have its anti-skid. But for the cost of two tires, we saved a $400 million aircraft that night.
Wow.
Is your heart pumping? like really fast during these moments?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I just didn't know. Like, okay, that makes me feel better because I was like, are they just so cool and calm and collected during this, or are you like feeling it? Like, okay,
I'm sure you are feeling it, but you aren't expressing that when you're talking on the radio to whomever you need to, right?
Yeah, you know, you got to go get the job done. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting, and your adrenaline is up.
I'm curious, and I think we talked about this before, but you are on the taller end of pilots. I mean, you're just about too tall, right?
Exactly. Honestly, for the T-38, once I got all my gear on,
how tall are you?
6'1", I think. Two.
I'm 6'2". Yeah.
Right.
I was over the weight and size limits for the T-38, and so thankfully I never had to eject from it.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. So how did you get in? Like, were you a little boy watching the first Top Gun, or how did you decide, like, yes, I want to be a lieutenant?
Well, he wasn't a little
colonel.
Boy watching Top Gun.
Well, okay.
Yeah, we were both older at that point, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
Was there something that, like, catapulted you to be like, yes, I want to try and do this? Because, Ken, I remember you saying you wanted to be a pilot, but your eyesight's not good enough.
That's why I'm so jealous of Doug. Yeah, that's exactly true.
So my dad was in the Air Force during the Korean War. His squadron commander when he was over at Hahn Air Force Base in Germany was actually Chuck Yeager, who was flying F-86s at that time. So he loved aviation. If Ken remembers coming over to the basement of our house, it was just filled with model aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
He just never had the opportunity to fly, but it instilled, you know, a love for aviation within me.
Okay, nice. Well, thank you so much, Lieutenant Colonel Doug Kleiss. I just have one last question for me. Blink twice if there are aliens.
Blink twice at what?
If there are aliens.
Aliens, yes.
Okay. There you go.
Wait, you can't just say yes. You can't just say yes like that. Have you been around anything that seriously that you've like seen extraterrestrial whatever?
No, the people I trust have.
The people you trust have?
Yeah, people I've flown with in the past, they've been in incidents with UFOs.
What?
Now that he said that, he's got to kill you.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. They're not just like, oh, maybe we saw. They're like 100% we saw.
No, very, very solid, calm people came back and said these things. So
there you go. Here it is. And
oh, my gosh.
99.9 WJVL. You heard it here.
That
so
is wild.
When the government finally announces this, you heard it here first.
Okay, well, thank you, Lieutenant Colonel
Well,
Doug
hold
Kleiss.
On. I got one more question for Doug. I want this to be a recruiting thing to some degree because I think it's so cool that Doug came from Janesville, Wisconsin to achieve what he achieved in the military. And one more accolade he said was his highlight of his career was flying with the Red Arrows. And they're the British demonstration team, very similar to our Blue Angels or Thunderbirds. So he did that. But what would you tell young people, if they want to be a pilot, what would you tell them? What should they do?
Go for it. The aviation world is massive, and the job opportunities are all over the place. Go for it.
All right. What do they need to do, though, specifically? And in your case, we should say that you had some college education. You went into the Air Force, came back out, decided you wanted to be a pilot, which meant you had to finish your education, get your degree, then go back in. Should they just go into the Air Force and see what happens, see where they fit?
The best path is to get your degree first in some STEM field, so an engineering or aviation degree. Mm. Then look for a commissioning source. Or line up from high school, go into one of the service academies. That'll be a straighter path than the path I used into pilot training, if they want to become a military pilot. But on the civilian side, the civilian aviation world is wide open as well, and there are more opportunities out there than there have ever been.
All right. Doug, buddy, thank you so much. I appreciate this. So you and I got to connect more often. Mm-hmm. I need to get out to Maryland to visit you or vice versa. So Lieutenant Colonel Doug Kleiss, very, very old friend of mine and a man who can knock down a few wild turkeys.
Real quick, Doug, do you talk about Shakey's as much as Ken does?
Shakey's was a great foundation for Ken and I.
Oh, my gosh.
What a what a great experience. We learned how to work hard, work fast, work accurately, have fun, sing songs. It was a great place to build that work foundation.
There you go.
Well said. All right. I'll call you later, Doug. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Doug.
Have a good day.
Nice talking to you. Bye.
Lieutenant Doug Kleist, right there. Lieutenant Colonel, excuse me. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, that is wild. The alien part.
I haven't looked at our text line to see if anyone has commented. Somebody had a question for him and missed it.
Like, you know, I think I need to give myself like a real big pat on the back, because we have said before that I can get answers out of people. I really honestly wasn't even thinking I'd get anything, because you've asked him before and he's like derailed the question.
Yeah, to some degree. Yeah.
He never answered it like mm-hmm, that for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's something the military can do now.
What?
Let's talk more about that. We'll see what happens.
I didn't want to press too much, but I want to ask so much more.
All right. Well, maybe one of these days, we'll get him here live. And if he visits, by the way, I should mention that if anybody had Mrs. Jan Deers as a teacher at Parker,
that's
Doug's sister.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So 737.
That was really cool. Thanks for calling him.